Good morning, everyone. Just a few more people coming into the room before we begin. Everybody's driving this morning, Kat.
I see Kat in the car, too.
A few more people. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being part of this White Correctional Systems Oversight Commission special meeting today. I know it's a busy day. We're still in the middle of the legislative session. We did want to just get together and see where we are and what else we need to do as a commission, perhaps discuss some things. To begin with, I'm open to any of you that wish to discuss or have testimony on some of the agenda items today. Kat, you want to start if you have anything?
She's driving in a car.
Yeah.
If no one volunteers, Mark, you can just go on.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to give them a time to think about what they want to say. Okay. All right, let's move on then. This may be, this is probably, like I said, it's a busy week. And Friday, legislature is still on. We have 14 people here. So let's begin with the discussion of legislation concerning bail reform, rehabilitative programs, prison population, and corrections in the 2022 legislature so far. I think right now, to my fellow commissioners, this has really been an interesting legislative process, since this is the first time that we as a commission are trying to navigate it. Yeah. And I really appreciate all of you that's been helping with the situation is what it is with no staff. Well, we've been doing the best we can. Ted and Martha pick up the bulk of a lot of the writing. Well, Ted, you have. Appreciate the fact. Some of the bills I have not, I don't like to use the word died, but they're no longer moving. And then some of the bills are continually moving. Some of the bills have crossed that we continue to support. So with that being said, excuse me. With that being said, the one that we might want to comment on is the bail reform was passed by Finn yesterday. Okay. And so I appreciate Martha and Ron for trying to get on the website and trying to be able to be there, available for testimony, but
yeah, Ron drafted testimony, but it did not appear to have gone through. Yeah. We had a glitch somewhere. Yeah.
So,
but I hope the one that I drafted late, because I called the finance committee, Mark got a clerk, walked me through again, Martha.
Oh, and okay.
So it was before 11 anyway. He told me to submit it anyway, and I explained the predicament. You and I went through that Tuesday night, and then he told me just draft it. He put a note in the notes they keep at the committee level. And so it should be this time, I hope, but albeit it's marked late.
Yeah, so we should be able to see it then most likely today on the website, the testimony. Okay, very good.
So our concern in my testimony, I talked about our responsibility in terms of managing the capacity or the oversight of the capacity of the public safety correctional system. And we wanted to I asked that they put back the Class C felonies, non-violent. And there's a lot of testimony on putting that back in or concern with the way that it was written now. However, finance passed as with no further amendments to it. Yeah, so that's moving. So I think we just continue to watch, continue to testify, and see how it goes. I'm not sure where it is in the Senate right now, but I know how the Finn passed it, and we just have to wait and see where WHAM is with their version of the bill.
Mark?
Yes.
I also want to thank Kat very much for sharing her spreadsheet with us, because we have not done that. And without that, we wouldn't be able to keep track of many of these things. So I appreciate that. I think we all appreciate her sharing that with us.
Yeah. I think the challenge has always been tracking the bills that we discussed prior to the session, and the manner by which it moves to the House and its committees, as well as the Senate and its committees. It's been a challenge, but we have been able to submit over 20-something testimonies on these bills, and we continue to monitor and manage when we can. So is there any specific bill that you folks want to discuss or disappointed on? I know bail is continuing to move, and the thing that we're learning about the bail is, as we continue to advocate for what we feel would be the best venue to help manage the populations in the system, first steps are always the best steps to do. Yeah, we may not get the big step, but if we get the small step, then it's just a continual process of trying to get to where we think will make an impact on the entire system. So let's see how far we can get with this bill. And then continue to support it as it moves through the session. I believe the next bill that we want to discuss is that I believe is no longer moving is the pause.
Mark, before we move on to, I have a question on the bill.
Yes.
So as it moves, because when we started the first, the hearing at the judiciary and with Hawaiian Affairs, before they, they took out the Class C's and other languages from House Bill 1567. Now, what is the position of the commission as it goes through the different committees without, all these proviso being restored? Is that the same? Support, strongly support, do we raise it, say put back again the provisos that were lifted from 1567?
That's a good point, Ron.
Do we continue to say, well, put it back? Well, at some point says, well, we support it, and let's move forward. So at least it's a step.
I would advocate that we continue to include, ask that they include the Class C nonviolent felons in it. If it's moving along, it can pass, even with us testifying, saying we support the intent of this. This is the direction we should be going in, but we are we feel compelled to urge you to add the Class C felons. So I would still go in that direction.
That's essentially, Martha, what do we, put it on a written testimony, albeit late, that basically we support. The first one, we said we strongly support it. That was the 1567, the original bill.
Yes.
And then since they took out the provisos of Class C, then in the House Draft 1, said support, and we urge put back the provisos. So now it'll be the same, support, the strong support, and put back the provisos?
Yeah, that's what I recommend.
Do we know what's happening to the Senate version of the bill?
I don't, not offhand. I can take a look at it real quick.
Well, I think at a hearing.
Mark, do you have the Senate bill number? I have a Ledge website open.
2157.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm visualizing you on your laptop, Martha.
I'm with my iPad on the thing.
Oh, okay.
It is not moving at all. It was re-referred on January 26th to Public Safety, Judiciary, / WHAM.
Okay.
And it hasn't been heard by Public Safety, so it's dead.
So the House bill will cross then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for us, if we want stronger bills, it's better if the Senate bill crosses first, because I think the House would tend to be more favorable to our position. But in this case, since the House bill is crossing over, it's going to be a little more difficult to get the wording in. That's my analysis from quite a distant standpoint, I have to say. But I think we have to keep saying, you know, a little is better than none, but it's still not good enough.
Yeah.
But one of the important thing is to keep getting the messages across, because what you want to do is get it in conference, because then anything can happen.
Right.
Sometimes good, sometimes not so good.
One of the things I shared in the testimony from information I received from Martha, you know, OCCC has 954 bodies as of February 14th. And of that 954, 430 are pretrial felons. Yeah. So somewhere in this discussion that we're talking about right now is the question, how many of those 430 are Class Cs? You know, and how much of an impact would we have on the reduction of that 954 if that Class C felony was part of the bail package? The pretrial misdemeanors of this 954 as of February 14 is only 133. Yeah. So that kind of gives us the numbers and how bail reform would affect OCCC if it passed with the Class C. Yeah.
Well, what was shared with the legislature is that 59% of the OCCC population is pretrial.
Yeah.
And that combines both the misdemeanors and the felons together.
I think at the next hearing, we might want to, or will, present it as a statewide number as well, Martha. Yeah.
Yeah.
OCCC was of a concern based on the fact that they're building 1,000+ bed facility, you know, so. I kind of want to uplift the OCCC numbers, but there is
Doing it statewide, though, again, I would break it down by each of the CCCs. I wouldn't just give a total for statewide. I'd say this is what it is on Maui, on the Big Island, you know, do it that way. In the meantime, again, we need to get in touch with George King. So, Mark, do you want me to draft something, or do you want to send an email to Max asking if we can work directly with George King to get statistics on pretrial? You can say it's specific to the pretrial population.
Yeah, I'll shoot that email out after the meeting, Martha.
Yeah, I don't think Aaron would have access to what you know, whether it's A, B, or C pretrial. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm not sure. We can also call Aaron and ask whether she might have more detailed information from public safety.
Harbinson, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see as soon as that bill appears in our Senate side, Ted, and we'll keep in touch with each other, or with the progress of that bill. Okay. Moving on real quick, just wanted to briefly talk to you folks and mention the fact that the bill that we asked to pause and the formation of a community debt was amended for more participation by the commission to be a full partner in the development of the jail.
Whatever that means,
and no pause, but I don't think there's any movement on that bill anymore. Yeah. So that's where that is at this particular point in time. Some of you have seen in the papers or in the media, a lot of movement with bills around concerns for women. Yeah, reentry, educational opportunities, childcare, and so circles. So they're still having a lot of traction. Some of them have not moved. Some of them are still moving forward. But very excited to see that if some of these bills are able to pass, that these are all first steps that can be done for system reform, especially in the educational and the reentry efforts. Yeah. So we've been watching that. And
just a comment, Mark. I understand that they're moving because there's a strong coalition behind these bills. And I think it's great that we have all of this movement. As you said, they could serve as a model. But the ironic thing is that the women's facility, if you look at it from a numbers perspective, the women's facility is the facility that needs it the least.
Yes.
Because they're going to be way over capacity. As I mentioned in a previous meeting, they're going to have they're asking for a huge infusion of new staff to fund their additional building, which will be underutilized, especially if some of these reforms go through. So it's really ironic, but you know, it's a picture of what happens when you don't plan properly.
I've said it once before. There are instances in the systems that we can be used as models for the greater system. Yeah, particularly with the men. They're in the process of building those extensions at WCCC, and the fact that they came in at the same time. But it's not the state. This is the coalition coming in with reform efforts to the system. Yeah. So you want to be positive that at least they're building and they're having reform systems. We're trying to reform the system at the same time. That's not happening at the men's level. Yeah. And that's the weakness right now in the leadership, that we're investing an incredible amount of money in the building of a structure and investing nothing in the reforming of the system. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be the downfall of the whole prison, the whole new jail, the lack of system improvement. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and you know, we've been down this road before in decades past. And historically, if you look at the history of corrections in Hawaii, you see how we had some great ideas which never came to pass. But anyway, that's a different story. And so I've lived through it.
Yeah. We both you guys, or maybe we all did, we see. And that's the knowledge we hope to bring here and hope to convey to the powers to be. So we just need to point out to them, why can you do this but you're not doing this, you know? And where is that lack of leadership that's not having these collaborations so that these can occur? I would like to see, I think they call them themselves, Martha, correct me if I'm wrong, the Women's Project, the coalition?
I've heard. I haven't talked to any of the members.
Women's Prison Project.
It's a prison project. That may be an invitation one day. How do you folks feel for them to come in?
Yeah, we'd be talking to them.
Yeah, just invite them in, and let's get on board. One of the bills has to be talking about a women's commission. Yeah, and we did testify on the that particular bill, and I'm not sure where that one is at this particular time. But we did say that, you know, we support the intent, and we would work with them. But the same issue will occur of no staff. So create these commissions and we don't provide them with the tools to allow them to do what they're mandated to do. So hats off to the project, that coalition at this particular point in time.
In the Civil Beat yesterday, they printed a an article on the restorative justice group calls for sweeping reform of women's prison system. And so they interviewed Lingle and others for that. Mm-hmm. That's in Civil Beat.
Okay.
Martha, maybe we should post that on our chat. I read it and it's very good. I saw that Linda Lingle's very active and I've had other calls about it.
I'm trying to remember who sent me that article.
It's in Civil Beat, Mark.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to try and navigate and talk on the Zoom, navigate the website and talk on the Zoom at the same time. the Native Hawaiian bills has crossed. Hold on. Senate Bill 2770, which we did, that calls for a collaboration between public safety and OHA in the process of creating, this is my words, indigenous programming. So that particular bill has crossed. I guess it's in the House, moving from the Senate to the House. So just wanted to uplift that one as it continues to move, as we're looking at a more intensive and intentional engagement of creating indigenous programming for our Native Hawaiian and Pacific Island incarcerated population. So real positive about that at this time. Are there any more specific bills you folks are curious about and where they are and what we're doing about it? Ted, have you kept up with the identification bill?
I saw that it was heard by one of the money committees, or maybe both, but I haven't really followed it. I assume it'll cross, and I assume that there'll be one house or the other will put an amendment so it can go to conference. Martha, it's an admin bill, and it's a good one to have in conference.
Yeah.
Martha, if you still got your stuff up, that's SB 3137.
Okay, I don't have it open, but I'll open it up.
I got it.
Hey, Mark?
Yes?
I was driving home, trying not to break the law on Zoom. So I'm in my house now. Tell me, where are we on the cash bail? Because Bob Merce and I are supposed to give a presentation next Wednesday. And Bob, you aboard here now, Bob? Yeah, Bob's here.
Yeah, we had that discussion. That was the first discussion we had, Mike.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Let's finish this up and we'll come back. And Bob, you can have some comments when we have the testimony on the agenda again, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah.
So SB 3137 on February 2nd or 7th was referred to judiciary and has not been heard.
Which bill is this, Martha?
This was the offender reentry system, the thing about the ID.
Oh, okay.
So I would say it's effectively
in one house at least.
Yeah.
Okay, so House Judiciary, I believe it is, passed the bill unamended on 2 days ago.
Yes.
That's where we are right now.
Yeah, the 23rd. But it was amended previous to that. It was amended in the CMV, whatever that is. Corrections, military, I don't know. And I don't know the initials anymore.
I know the issue at the time was this is the bill that one sentence, Ted, you talked about where they said upon request of the venues.
It is saying it is now the burden of the inmate to request this stuff rather than the burden of the department to work with them and ensure that they get this stuff. And we strongly object to that.
Along with the bill, this is another one we want to closely monitor and continue to advocate against that particular piece of the legislation. Yeah, Ted, in terms of that one sentence that specifically says upon request. I think in our responsibility for the reentry process, I don't know how we can have that as part of this legislation when it should be the responsibility of the state. Any reentry effort, any reentry success is based on identification, just bottom line.
And the line that it reads in the House bill is, provided that the inmate request assistance after being notified that assistance is available. And that's where it puts the burden on the inmate rather than the department to ensure that they do this for them.
What's disturbing to me is that it's an admin bill.
Yeah.
And it came from the Department of Public Safety, and it seems to reflect an attitude toward the inmates.
Right. So that's a continued one that we'll continually monitor and testify against that particular portion of the bill. No other specific ones I can think of at this particular point in time. That's where we are. Yeah. I think in hindsight, as we're continually going through this, this has been an interesting venture as the chair to try and navigate this legislative process and be a presence in a lot of these reform bills and whatnot. And really, and it's like beating a dead horse, really, what I'm going to say publicly is how important the need of staff is for in a period like this. Yeah. It has been an interesting experience for me to try and navigate the legislative session. It's all new to me. And you know, for those of you who are here, I can't speak for Ted and Martha, but even when they were active in the legislative sessions, and they have done a lot of hearings in their career, they had a lot of staff helping them. You know, and even myself, you know, in the Office of Youth Service, we have staff that helps in the legislative process. So thank you all for the what we can do at this particular point in time, but I do feel that we are making a presence. We have submitted a lot of testimony, and those that we can attend, we're there. So.
And Mark, not having the staff is more than just not supporting us. Everything we do as a group, we have to do in public. When you have staff can be moving us forward, speaking to us individually, incorporating what we're saying, and come up with a whole package where we cannot do that. That's been the biggest hindrance, that we cannot meet privately at all.
So I just want to, I think we were doing a lot with what we can, and it's going to be hit and miss, but I believe we're still making an impact as best we can. So that's my final comments on the legislative session. And Martha, can we move on? If nobody, no other questions.
Mark, one last note on legislation. The bill to watch is the budget bill, to see what's in it and what's not in it. I don't know who crosses first this year, but it might be difficult to read, but it has to be watched. And the budget making is that's the one bill that really takes place behind closed doors, but the key item that we're watching in that, of course, is a $50 million that the department is requesting to further the planning of the new ACCC. So.
Yeah. Okay, so for my education, is that the departmental budget?
It's the executive budget, it's the governor's budget, okay. And all the department's budgets are in there.
Okay. What I'm trying to ask is, how do we track that?
You don't track it. They have the hearings prior to the legislative session where all the departments present their budgets, doesn't welcome testimony from other people. And then, as Ted said, the rest of it pretty much so happens behind closed doors. Staff and the budget committees are in touch with departments, they're making adjustments, they're making changes, and we don't see much until the worksheets come out. And that's near the end.
Okay, so right now there is no access to that information in terms of
there is access. You can access the budget as introduced. And so that was on the BNF website. So it's also on the legislative website too.
You can impact it if you can get into seated chairs or some
staff.
Friendly legislators on the committee or the heads of the subject matter committees. They can have an impact, but otherwise, you know, there's not going to be a hearing on it. Let's put it that way.
I do have one other question. How do we know that we're being funded? The only thing that I saw was in the PSD budget, they had something there, and we're not attached to PSD. We're attached to the Attorney General's.
My last conversation that we had with Lisa, and this may be the wrong answer, is that the only reason why we were able to move forward with the executive director recruitment, oversight coordinator recruitment, is because we knew we had a budget. Correct, Lisa?
That's for this year, Mark.
Yeah.
I think Mark was talking about future years.
That is correct, Mark.
Okay. So Lisa, do you know if in the AG's budget they included money for us to continue for the next biennium?
I don't know. I'd have to double check on that.
We need an answer on that as soon as possible. In reviewing the budget, I did not see anything in the AG's budget. And in PSD budget, they had like a footnote. And it implied that maybe they were getting the money. But again, by law, we're attached to the AG, not to the PSD.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to end up in May with us, with everybody going, oops, we forgot.
Okay. Lisa, I would appreciate it if you can inquire for us from your point, your contacts.
Yeah, double checking right now.
Thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And I may have missed the bus on this, but do we have a new AG?
Yeah, Holly.
Okay. What's the last name?
I don't know.
Chicada.
Okay. Sorry, just wanted to make that known. I was on the website the other day and I saw a different face, so that's why I knew it was changed.
Yeah,
so.
Claire is now with the feds.
Okay.
Mark, Holly, yes. Holly's easy to talk to. I think she's fair. And she did welfare work, Department of Human Services work for years.
Okay. So we need to be, thank you for that conversation, Ted. We're going to go ahead and educate myself on this budget bill and what concerns we have. If you folks had concerns with what you've already read, let me know. And
well, Ted already raised up the most important one is the additional money for planning.
Okay.
And that's in the PSD budget. And secondly, are we funded?
Okay. I think... if there is I think that's good. I'm just trying to think on the action item, but as long as we you know, we just discussed this as a commission that we have concerns over the potential what's in the PSD's budget pertaining to planning money and what's that for and what's that happening. Those are the questions that we want to uplift.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, as Ted mentioned, it is in discussions with the chairs of the subject committee who were concerned about this, you know, that kind of stuff.
I have to educate myself on that issue. Yeah, but then, at least we've had that discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you guys for that, Ted. Appreciate it. Martha, you want to take over on that next item?
Before we move on, Mark, this is not specifically on this agenda, but it's carryover from the last agenda. It's a sort of old business. You may remember we had the discussion with public safety about the reopening of the work furlough program.
Yes.
And Max subsequently sent an email to you and asked for the department's position, I mean, the commission's position on that. And I drafted a possible response. Whatever happened to that?
That needs to be sent off, Ted, to be honest. Yeah. You just reminded me that you did that.
Okay.
Okay. I'll get that done today.
And yeah. You'd be sure to provide us all with a copy of the signed letter.
Yeah, yes. just to reiterate the what I propose as our response. The response is that this is not a black or white issue, open furlough or shut furlough. What we're looking for is sort of like a plan that will make sense in times of COVID. For example, having the population so. Possibility of isolation is greater, strict masking, testing, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, that would be our position. I think the commissioners have were all afforded a copy of the draft. So if we agree, I think we ought to be, I'll send it out soon.
Okay, I'll work on that as soon as the meeting is done. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, Martha.
Okay, I just want to do as a reminder. I sent you all an article from Civil Beat, and it appears that the law changed governing open meetings. And we were not the only commission that was hit by a review that was obviously done by a group of people to see if agendas were being done in accordance with the new law. And it turned out from this article in Civil Beat that I forwarded that there were sessions offered to boards and commissions along with departments and stuff on holding meetings and what these laws changed, but we were not aware of them. We were never informed that we had the opportunity to attend any of this. So I'm still not quite clear exactly how we have to do our meeting notices and our agendas. Okay, anyway, so I decided for this one, I asked Mark just to attach the proposed outline. And it's pretty simple. You know, you start with an introduction, what we're supposed to be doing, a quick summary of what we reported last year, and then note that we did establish COVID-19 capacities, but DPS was unable to achieve these. The second one is lack of staff has impeded our commission work. And boy, can we go on and on about that. But we cannot investigate or respond to complaints. And again, I just want to remind all of us that during that period of time when the sunshine laws were suspended and we were able to meet more regularly and discuss these complaints, we were able to respond to them. But now without staff, we cannot respond to them. The impact of COVID on Hawaii's correctional system, and that's going to take a lot of work. I don't know who's going to write that up. Our position on OCCC replacement, and we would summarize and then attach the information we provided to WAM and finance. And I haven't here a discuss and pause versus moratorium because we brought that up. And it's up to us if we want to include that in the report. I think it's worthwhile including the report. And then the legislation to be considered, remember this outline was drafted in January prior to the legislature convening. And so we were going to talk about things that we did talk about at that time which was correcting an error that was in our statute, the clean slate expungement, technical violations, moratorium on jails and prisons and other bills. Oh, bail reform being number one. I'm sorry, bail reform's at the top there. And so I think this is gonna need some adjustment now that we're writing the report mid-session. And I'm gonna ask everybody to take a section of it. And you know, I'll pull it all together and I'll write portions of it too. But we need to be writing this as a, you know, each one contributing to this.
Martha, can you send the outline again? I remember you did send it, and frankly, I got caught up with a lot of other stuff, and I just completed something yesterday, so I'll be able to take a look at it now.
Okay.
I'm sending it as we speak.
Okay.
Any questions on the outline from Ron and Mike?
No, not for me.
No, and thank you.
Okay.
And again, I'm asking everybody to participate in this. You know, last year I was sitting over with Mark writing the bulk of it. And I don't mind pulling it together, and people write sections and I can take your sections and, you know, make it into one voice. I have no problem with doing that. I did that a lot in my job with public safety, but I do need help writing this. I can't be writing it this myself.
What can be helpful, commissioners, when you look at the outline, is just really write your thoughts on what you see. Yeah.
So that I'm actually going to ask people to take section and write that section.
Okay.
I mean, I can do the introduction and lack of staff very easily. But like, I would ask whether Ron can do the bail reform section.
Okay.
And again, Ron, just write it the way you would want it. It can even be in bullet points, as long as it's something that I can then, you know, incorporate into the report as sentences, paragraphs. Yeah.
Just to clarify, Martha, this annual report is basically a report on what we have done last year, right? And what we look towards the legislative session in suggesting bills.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You know what? You're right on that. So
every year is a different what we've done.
Yeah. But the legislation to be considered. So that was just going to state our position on what we expected to come in. So maybe we should still write it from that vantage point.
What we have done in the legislation, because our commission has always pushed the bill reform.
Yeah.
And certainly the 1567 was what we ended last session, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, I can give a stab on bail reform.
Okay. And what do the rest of you feel about that? That writing from a vantage point as if we were turning this in time, which would be December 30th of last year, as opposed to what's happened since the year has begun.
I think we should write it because we're creating a record.
Yeah.
But Ted, what I'm asking is on the legislative part, could that be written from the point of view of how far we've gotten into this session, or from the point of view is if we were writing it on prior to the session beginning?
So why can't we start from, you know, what we wanted from the beginning and continuing to the present status of what we've been, I guess, following up? I suppose, though, what we've been doing this session would be included in the next year's report.
Yeah.
So that's the dilemma. Do we, because what we could do in this report too, since everyone knows it's going to be late, it will have a date on it, is like the bail reform, we can write the section as if we were submitting it December 30th of 2021. And then we can put like an italics note or update and just say, this is what's happened so far this year. Anyway, we got time to.
Yeah.
I didn't say time, but we can.
Time and reference, we can add. Yeah.
And I just want to make the record that certainly, you know, like you pointed out, because we don't have the staff, and you know, the staff that we don't have, the one, at least the oversight coordinator under the Act 179 is supposed to be our secretary. And we don't, you know, have this secretary for the commission. That's why we're all doing this ourselves, so to speak, with the help from the outside people who participates in these meetings.
And it will also be in that session we discussed that we held interviews a year and a half ago. And then there was a decision made after we held the interviews not to release the funds. And this year the funds were released. We held interviews and we'll have the date that we forwarded that to the governor. And that as we have not heard a response yet.
Okay, that sounds like a plan, Martha. Thank you guys for that. Thank you, Ron, for those comments. This is the meeting today was specifically to talk about legislative items as well as the report that we need to submit as we close out these discussions. I'm going to open it back up in agenda item number 4 for any comments on agenda items. Bobby, you wanted to talk
before about that. Can I just ask, is Lisa still here?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
You know, I forwarded to, you were included, that report from the, or that article from Civil Beat about the changes to the open meetings law. Can you follow up and find out whether there's any current training that we could attend, or I could attend, someone could attend, so we can find understand the impact? Because writing the agenda is going to be important in the future. Obviously, you know, when the Civil Beat said that many commissions had to cancel their January meetings because they were not in compliance with this, we need help.
There is actually on the website, there's actually videos and I guess memos explaining the changes to the Sunshine Law. I can, if you want some kind of personal or other kind of training, I can check with them.
Well, can you send us the website?
Whose website is that?
This is the Office of Information Practices website, which is https://.
In the chat.
Okay, can you send a link?
Can you send a link through email, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Lisa.
There's actually not that much difference. I think the trick was that in terms of the notices, they had to be much more specific. That was what was tripping up the other commissions and boards, and the neighborhood boards especially, which are totally not funded, have no staff. That was what was causing people to cancel their meetings. And so we've been good enough to have only one slight hiccup on the last agenda. But yes, that's the only major change.
Yeah, but see, like my confusion would be, we wanted to discuss the annual report that was pointed out as not being specific enough. And so I suggest we resolve it by just attaching the outline. We should not have to do that. There should be a way that we can write that sentence about the annual report that does not require us to attach really an internal document.
Yeah, and then as I said last meeting, I don't agree with the OIP's interpretation of that agenda description as being too vague, but that's OIP's ruling. And so, but I'll put up the link. I'll send you all the guys all the link. I can also put the link in the chat, but it's really available to anybody, any member of the public, to look and read. It's actually very good, very, very short insight.
And if I still can't understand it after looking at all that, I'm going to call them and ask, how do we get more detail without, and you know, I'm going to explain, you know, attaching an outline to report is not, should not be required.
Yes, I agree.
I just didn't know how else to respond to it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, final comments on the agenda items by the public? Go ahead, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to comment. And I'm sorry I was late in signing into the meeting. Just two things. I think with regard to the discussion that you had on the $15 million that's in the state budget, I would really strongly recommend that you designate perhaps Mark or one of your members to have personal meetings with some of the key people on the Finance and Ways and Means Committee, the chairs and vice chairs, and any others who you think might be influential or have a particular stake in the stopping the new jail, because I think that would be very important. I plan to send out an email to the roughly 100 people that I sent out the previous emails to regarding 2516 to see if they will weigh in, and we can organize a real campaign to help members of the Ways and Means and Finance Committee to understand what's at stake with regard to the new jail, and hopefully get them to delete that item from the budget. But I think it's going to take work, and we have to have a plan to do it. And anybody who wants to call me or email me afterwards and talk about what the plan should be, I'd be happy to receive any comments from you. The other thing I wanted to mention was something that came up between the last meeting, which is Senate Bill 2456. It is a bill that was introduced by the Filipino caucus, and it calls for the creation of a limited purpose ID. And it lists a whole shopping list of different documents that can be presented by different types of people to get this limited purpose ID, which would get you a lot of things to help you get by while you're trying to get a Gold Star ID or what they call a real ID. I was contacted about that by Pat McManaman, and she said, look, we've got all of these things for documents that could be submitted by homeless people and by immigrants and so forth to get this ID. What about prisoners? And I said, right, why don't we do it? So I did an amendment saying basically that if somebody presents to the bill would have, the presentation would be to the examiner of driver's licenses, that they're going to issue the IDs. If they come in with a certificate of discharge, an order of parole, or even a printout from the department with the picture, name, address, and date of birth of the former inmate, that they would be required to give them an ID. So they would have a real government-issued ID card to use. And unfortunately, when they interpreted the amendment, instead of putting those three items in, they just said an ID card from the Department of Public Safety. And of course, that's the whole problem, is we don't have ID cards from the Department of Public Safety. So the bill is going to be heard, the Senate bill, it's called 2456, is going to be heard Monday at, I think, 10:30 by the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. I've contacted Carl Roach's office. I've already prepared my testimony, and it simply calls for them to go back to the amendment that the community had called for, which is just adding an item into that list of things that you can present to get this ID. Would be one that says if you have an order of a certificate of discharge, order of parole, or the printout from the department, then you get the ID. And if anybody is interested, I think that would be a really good bill to have, particularly because, you know, we still don't have the official IDs. And even when they get the official IDs, we know there are people going to fall through the cracks, particularly if the language remains that the inmate has to initiate a request to get the ID. So this would be at least a little bit of a safety net. And I'm very appreciative of Pat McManaman for getting that started, and for Amy Ogbiani to really throw her support behind it as well. So those are my only two comments.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. I'm sure the commissioners, thank you for bringing this bill to our attention. I wasn't aware of it. And everything you said has some validness to it. Ted, were you aware of this particular bill?
No.
Bob, as I read it, it says acceptable documentation to get the ID includes a prisoner ID. So wouldn't that be that using the prisoner ID to get the temporary ID?
And that's exactly the problem. What we recommended for that section, Martha, was if you present
those documents.
The three documents I mentioned by name, the certificate of discharge, order of parole, or the printout from the department issued by the Department of Public Safety with your picture, name, and date of birth. That's what should be in there.
Okay.
And that's what we're going to ask Senator Rhodes to put in there, and that has the backing of again Amy Agbayani and Pat McManaman. And they're both a force of nature. Get them on your side and you've got a shot.
Okay, we'll add that to the list of things that we're tracking right now, Bob.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Through emails, we'll look at the testimony and how we can draft that.
Yeah, and again, if anybody who's tuned into this meeting wants to contact me about submitting testimony on it, feel free to call me or 398-9594 or email me. I'd be happy to help you with it.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Any other comments from the community currently? I don't see any hands or faces, so... my last question before we disembark, we do have a scheduled meeting on the 17th of March. Commissioners, do you feel that we would need to meet on the 4th for any particular reason, or can we hold off to the 17th?
The purpose of the 4th, as we discussed it, was to just update on legislative stuff. Right, and that's the only thing on that agenda. So it's up to everybody else whether they want to meet on the 4th or not.
Okay, I'm in favor of just keeping it as it is because I'm sure there's a lot of things that are going to happen this next week. As we were at the end of this week and the beginning of next week, there's probably going to be a lot of hearings and a lot of changes in the bills that we are tracking. And you know, we can have another discussion on what we see, what's happening, and an update on where we are with the legislative. Hold on. Yesterday, Lisa posted March 4th, 9 o'clock agenda, and it's really just a discussion on the legislative items like we did today. So that's what that would be.
Yeah, it should be very short.
Yeah. Okay, any final comments from the commissioners?
Nope.
Hearing none. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for all of you guys who are here today. I appreciate that you'd rather listen to us than being in a hearing right now. So, you guys have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Aloha. Thank you. Thank you, bye. Mark, and everybody.
Aloha.
Thank you.